So good morning. This is Parami sitting in Adhisthana in the women's community, and I'm sitting beside the lovely team from the retreat that's just finished. So would you like to just say hello, girls, and introduce yourselves?
Hello, Dharmadina here.
Hello, Kay Masuri.
Okay, so Kay Masuri, Dharmadina, and I have just finished leading a retreat that was called The Order as Practice, Changing Paradigms. Shifting Paradigms, I'm corrected. I've only been in it for a week, so so Shifting Paradigms. So the idea for this retreat arose from a talk which Kay Masuri gave, a couple of talks she's given, but particularly one that she gave in the Women's Convention here at Adhisthana in 2014. So, Kay Masuri, do you want to just tell us a little bit about what that title means?
Okay. It's about talking about the order being integrated within itself and in embedded in the world in a quite a particular way, and how the spiritual community challenges some of the very fundamental beliefs of the society that we belong to, and how the order is in a very good place to promote change, both within the individual, within the movement, and within the wider world, because of the way that it functions.
Okay, well, we'll come back to that, because that's obviously fundamentally underpinned a lot of what we did. So Dharmadina and I heard this talk that you gave last year, Kay Masuri, and we both had quite an excited and stimulated response to it. And we thought, oh, we could build a retreat out of that. And then we had this idea about also bringing it into relationship with a particular sutta. So Dharmadina, do you want to say a little bit about the sutta that we've been using as the kind of Pali background to what we've been doing this week?
Yeah, so we thought we'd pin it around the Dasadhamma Sutta, which is from the Anguttara Nikaya, one of the tens. So it's the 10 essentials that we should reflect upon again and again for one who's gone forth, but of course for us, for those of us who've gone for refuge into our order. And first of all, we were going to just use the first line, which is, I no longer, what is it?
Live according
to worldly aims and values.
I no longer live according to worldly aims and values. So that, you know, just is a shift in paradigm, isn't it, away from the world into the spiritual community. And then we looked at the rest of the lines and we thought, Kay Masuri and I thought we would just explore all of them, because that first one in a way underpins all the others, but they look at that shift, that paradigm shift, from different points of view. So there's one that looks at our ethics, so you could talk about the whole shift from the power mode to the love mode.
Hmm. Great. And so that first line, excuse me, so you're saying, Dharmadina, that first line of the sutta, I no longer live according to worldly aims and values, is a major paradigm shift, and that's a lot of what we've been looking at. So say a bit, Kay Masuri, about paradigms.
So paradigms, very simply put, are the unstated assumptions in the mind of society. Often they're very difficult to pin down, because they're so well known, everybody assumes that they're not only true, but they're the only way of going about things. And because they so firmly underpin our attitude to the world, they're difficult to challenge, because half the time we don't know that we're living according to particular values which are unstated.
Could you give us an example?
Okay, so a very straightforward example is the fact that the paradigm that money has intrinsic worth. So when you look at a £5 note, for instance, actually what it is a piece of paper. But the paradigm of society is that it has intrinsic worth, that it is worth £5. And when this particular piece of paper gets very old and very grubby and kind of crumpled, and it falls on the floor, unlike other pieces of paper, it does not become litter.
Okay, thank you. That's a good example. We've all touched currency in our time, whether it's £5 notes or dollars or...
£50 notes.
Well, I think I've heard of them. You know, dollar, Australian dollars, New Zealand dollars, rupees...
Euros.
Pesos, whatever it is. So that's a very good example. So thinking about paradigms and society seen through that lens, we've also been looking at that within... systems theory, yeah? So we've had quite a bit of looking at the different systems that we're all embedded in, whether individually or as an order. So one morning we did a bit of a workshopy kind of thing around that. I think it was after Damodena's talk on going forth. So Damodena, do you want to say a little bit about some of the systems that came up that we talked about that we just take for granted that we're part of?
We had banking, didn't we? We had banking, we had national health, welfare state, help me out girls, memory not very good.
Well, the one that I remember you talking about, particularly Damodena, which was very interesting, was family.
Family, yeah.
I think you brought that up in your talk, didn't you? Easy it is when you go back into the family setting.
To fall back into old childhood patterns. Mm. Yeah. Actually, one of the ones that when we brainstormed about paradigms in society, just like shift the question, was I thought that we had a tendency in this society to turn away from death and life at all costs and youth at all costs, and it's something I'm quite interested in. So we did an exercise, didn't we, where we put the... not the groups, but the aspects of the spiritual community we're involved in the centre. So we might be a college member or a Kalyana Mitra in a chapter, and then we put groups from society around the outside. I've sort of forgotten them.
It was quite a long time ago.
Culture, there was also cultural things.
There were things like housing systems. Yeah. There were things that were just consumerism in general, how easy it is for us to buy into consumerism. So in what way do we as a spiritual community, the order, challenge that? Either of you, girls?
So I think a sort of major channel is through our ethical principles. Through the ethics, the 10 precepts, we move away from thinking that we're in control, that we're in charge, that the world ought to take care of us. Having particular expectations. And the paradigms we challenge are just about everything I can think of that is in the normal society, that family is the most important thing, that money is important, and if you're not paid well, then you're worthless. It goes right across the board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did talk about, didn't we, you and I think in both our talks, which was on the first line, the first Dasa Dharma, about the modern society that we live in, the kind of free market, neoliberal market economy. Greed is good, profit at all costs, and the effect that has on the making people and resources into commodities. And all the aspects that come out of that busyness, superficiality, triviality, celebrity culture. So we talked about all that, didn't we? And what we're trying to do in the spiritual community is to, you know, have a simpler life, share resources where possible, engage in deep, truthful communication on the basis of our spiritual values. So it is, you know, very different set of values.
Mm. Yeah, so interesting. You know, we've come around to talking about that, and I gave a talk, I think the one you referred to, Damodena, that I gave was The New Society Revisited.
Yeah.
And I hadn't realised when we booked this week for this retreat that, in fact, it's right in the middle of BAM, the Buddhist Action Month. So that was present. We talked about that a bit and what different places might do and had been doing. So we hadn't planned this as part of BAM, but it struck me that actually it's a very relevant thing for some order members to come together and explore some of these issues about how we leave behind the old paradigms and how we as a community, as well as individually, can create new paradigms and actually create alternatives for people. So any thoughts on that? It is a little bit early in the morning. I don't think these girls have had enough coffee. This is a paradigm we have not left behind. But you were both quite vocal about it during the week, so
I think that one of the important things about the order in particular is that it is both embedded in the wider society and at the same time very distinct from it, which means that we can create a living alternative to the society that we live in and that we're embedded in, that surrounds us, which means that through exemplification, both as individuals and as a collective, we can offer another complete and joyful way of life.
That's nice. I like that, a complete and joyful way of life. Yeah,
I'm going to say something different.
Okay.
Go on a different tack.
Okay.
I think when I reported out, I said I thought the retreat had been very multifaceted because we'd pinned it on a Pali Sutta. We'd explored seeing the order through this kind of slightly different lens of systems theory and shifting paradigms. And we'd had both a kind of cosmic, even mythic dimension, partly to do with the practices and the pujas we'd done. And also people were making quite practical resolutions, the things they wanted to change, like, you know, be more vegan at their centre or, you know, have less tea bags or something. So it seemed to me that we, you know, it was very, very multifaceted, and that was all kind of held in the context of the retreat.
Yeah, last night in our team meeting, Damodina, you reminded Kay Masuri and I that in a way what we'd been touching related to what we could call, in, you know, inverted commas and quote marks, the three duties of an order member.
Yeah, because the retreat's called Order as Practice, and I've done lots of retreats, what is the order at Tea Rat and the Loka in my day, and it just struck me that, although we hadn't mentioned this, that the three duties of an order member is individual personal practice, which is symbolised by the mani at the heart of Avalokiteshvara. Participating in the order, the body of Avalokiteshvara, really fully participating in our spiritual community, which is so wonderful, unique and radical. And then that gives us the kind of confidence, the strength, the different talents to go out and really influence the world we live in, even the world we live in today, which is sometimes one can think, how can you change things? But I think we can.
Great, that's a really good note. Just before we finish, one of the topics that inevitably came up through the week was climate change.
Yeah.
So it's been rather interesting that while we've been here, the Pope's encyclical has just come out, where he's saying that climate change is a moral and ethical issue. So, and calling on the rich to stop raping the world of its resources in a way that's creating social injustice as well as putting the planet at threat. So I just thought that was quite interesting. We in our little small way in here except exploring that. Any thoughts before we finish?
You know, I talked about this term that I'd come across called paradigm pioneers. You know, people who are on the kind of edge of things and change things and are often ridiculed at the beginning of, you know, that. I thought Bhante was a paradigm pioneer for setting up the order in the way he was. And then I'd read this, that the Pope was producing this encyclical. I think it hadn't come out then. And thinking, well, although he's the head of an enormous organisation, spiritual tradition, group, perhaps in a way he is, because of who he is also a paradigm pioneer, because he's asking us to do something. He's stepping out, isn't he? Into, you know, he's been criticised for it by the Vatican and by all sorts of people, but he's asking us to just really shift this paradigm of kind of profit at all costs and raping the earth. And I think that's extraordinary. And he's asking for other religious leaders and to come along with him or to support that in their own way. So maybe this is a shift coming our way.
Yeah, it did feel very hopeful that that was the case. And last night I was reading that Naomi Klein has been invited to go to the Vatican and take part in the climate change panel that the Pope's trying to set up with different leaders and thinkers from around the world. So, yeah, hopefully a paradigm. I mean, one just has to hope it's not too late and that we're still at this side of the tipping point and that something like this can really help. So that's kind of a big picture, isn't it? And just when anything, when the small, any little, thinking of this as part of BAM, and that some people will hear this while the Buddhist Action Month is still happening, should we leave them with any little last BAM-like thoughts?
Well, I just I was very taken by a comment of one of the retreatants yesterday when we reported out of the retreat that the talks on this retreat, which you might like to listen to, are conceptual but not abstract.
Yeah, that
so
was good.
That was very good that we were actually talking in very practical terms about what was happening and what people could do through their practice.
Mm. Okay, thank you very much, both of you. As Kay Masuri mentioned, there were 6 talks given on the retreat, 2 by each of the 3 team members. And we covered the 10 verses of the Dasadama in relation to the order as practice and shifting paradigms in society. So good talks. If you're interested in listening to them, they'll be on Free Buddhist Audio hopefully in the next week or so. So keep an eye out for them. And also Kay Masuri's talk from last year, which was the starting point in some ways for the thinking for this retreat, is also available in Video Sangha and Free Buddhist Audio. So I hope you're all having a good Buddhist Action Month and just, you know, keep the revolution going.
Yep.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye. That as well, that would be kind of too challenging, wouldn't it, darling? It's just a little snippet. Oops.